Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
Weight loss solutions are not one size fits all. Hers makes it simpler to get started and stick with a weight loss plan backed by expert guided online care that puts your weight loss goals first. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
All right, well, welcome to the Viking Press Pass. I'm Matthew Nickel, and joining me today from the softball team, junior Emily Gadd. So, Emily, thanks for connecting me with me here at Monday night.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, I know we've been trying to connect for a little while now, and you guys had to go take a trip to Florida and spend a bunch of time at the beach and do all the fun stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's okay, I suppose. So, but yeah, you guys have been some road warriors the last probably 8 or 9 days, quite a bit of windshield time. So, so I figured what we can do, let's talk through that stretch a little bit. I'm a very chronological person. So let's maybe talk through that a little bit, and kind of let everybody know what you guys have been up to. So, all right, so the Vikings traveled down to Lebanon, Tennessee, played Cumberland. Mm-hmm. You split the series, first and only loss of the season, but, just kind of share your thoughts, going down to Tennessee and on that doubleheader with Cumberland.
Honestly, I was really excited to go down to Tennessee. We played Cumberland last year, so we knew a little bit what to expect, not 100%, obviously, because people graduate, things change, but we knew they were a really good team and we really had to bring our A game. Because last year, we lost them and we lost them pretty hard. So coming into this year, we knew that we had to show up and kind of show out. And the first game, it kind of took us a little bit to get there. But once we hit that second game, we really hit the ground running and we knew that we wanted to win. So.
Well, I was able to watch a bit of the first game, but not much of the second game. What was really different about game two versus game one?
I think a little bit of it was some of that pressure of being undefeated and then coming in and playing this team that we knew was going to be super good. I think a lot of us on the team were really kind of high stakes because we knew this team was good. And you don't want to be like on the team that no one wants to take their first loss after being undefeated. So playing kind of high stress, plus we had just been on a bus for like 8 hours. It kind of takes a toll a little bit. I think we were all kind of just a little bit tired. I think that kind of affected us for that first game. But after that, and it wasn't like we totally lost by like a long shot. It was just a one run game.
Yeah.
So once we had that game under our belt, first loss, it wasn't a conference loss. We were able to relieve some of that pressure. We knew what we needed to do. And then we were able to really compete with that team and play a really good game of softball.
Absolutely. Well, you get a chance to kind of settle in a little bit, you know, which is nice. And some of those nerves get, you know, they just kind of release and they go away. And next thing you know, you're just playing softball and, you know, but, you know, Coach Nelson and staff, it's like, they're not shying away from playing a tough schedule this year. You know, I mean,
not at all.
You know, you're supposed to be playing Wisconsin Platteville tomorrow, but that got pushed out. And, you know, it's like, you're going to play Buena Vista. Then it's like, we're hosting, you know, Whitewater, you know, on Friday at home. So, now, you know, how are the field and the facilities? Because, you know, as I was looking at the backdrop, I mean, a couple of rows, it was like some stadium seating. It looks super nice. You know, I poked my head over to the baseball broadcast before your game came on. I think they were playing like Bethel, I think. But, you know, just in general, it looked like their field, their facilities looked really nice. You know, what were your thoughts just, you know, on kind of their facilities?
Cumberland's facilities?
And Cumberland's, yeah.
Oh, yeah, they're really nice. You know, you show up to this campus in Tennessee, you get off the bus, and it's just, like, it's gorgeous, the school is. And you pull up to this field, and it's stadium seating all around you, and there's this, like, I don't know how to describe it. It's like, picnic tables, like, in the back. So there's a ton of seating out there in center field. The dugouts, like, there's this big, giant bench in there. So you go there, and it's a field that you want to play some good games on. Like, you go there, and you're like, yeah, I'm excited to play softball.
Yeah. Now, was it a synthetic field?
No, the one weird thing about it, not to rip on the Cumberland field, because it is very nice, the lines, the two foul lines, those are turf. The rest of it's dirt and grass.
Okay.
So it was kind of weird to run down to first base, just because you had to either be on the grass or on the turf, and it, like, kind of tripped a few people up, I think.
I mean, that would feel a little weird just footing wise. I mean, they feel different,
yeah.
you know, entirely. So, you know, cause when I talk to some of the baseball guys, you know, that's one thing that, you know, they really like, especially when they're playing at home, you know, out of conference games, you know, a lot of times the teams that are coming in, they have, you know, synthetic fields and they come to ours and it's like playing on a, you know, natural grass. It's like, you know, we see a lot of errors, especially a lot of errors down, you know, third base. You know, when they're coming to visit, you know, Bruner Field. So, yeah, so I wasn't quite sure, you know, when I was poking my head over it, if it was, you know, a completely natural, like it got some mixed vibes. So I wasn't entirely sure. So,
the first time we saw it, I was not expecting it at all.
Now, so what'd the team do Saturday night then? Cause I know that's what, is that east of Nashville? Is that right? Think so.
Cumberland, yeah, I think it's like an hour away from Nashville almost.
So I know, you know, that's where you and I were, you know, trying to connect around, you know, coming back and didn't realize that the team was, you know, taking a bus down to Florida. You know, because you guys had a host of JV games, but you know, what did you guys do Saturday night? Did you stay, you know, in Lebanon and then leave like, you know, Sunday morning, or what was your schedule?
We left from the games. We got Whataburger for dinner and then we drove to Atlanta.
Okay.
And then we stayed in Atlanta overnight. And then Sunday morning is when we left for Florida.
Okay. All right. Got it.
A lot of traveling. Nice.
Yeah, sounds like it. My Lord. well, nice. So, you know, coming out of that Cumberland game, that Cumberland series, I should say, the doubleheader, what were just some of the messages from, you know, Coach Nelson and the staff around, you know, what the focus was going to be, you know, as you were heading down to Florida?
I think one of our big focuses was really being more aggressive as a team, because we have had so many wins under our belt and we had been coming off of no losses up until we played Cumberland, it gets really easy for us to kind of fall into like the, well, we've just won 5-6 games in a row. We don't really need to worry. And then we started to get a little bit passive. So the good thing about the loss was that it was a wake up call to us to be more aggressive and to not, you know, play down or up to any level or not look at anybody's stats and think, oh, we're automatically going to lose or, oh, we're automatically going to walk all over this team. B, we really need to show up to every game with the same intensity, the same drive, the same level of aggression, no matter what anybody else around us is saying, no matter what the stats are saying, just show up, be aggressive, and really have the want to win and never let up. No matter, we could be winning 12-0, we could be losing 12-0, just keep being aggressive in your at-bats, keep giving it all out on the field, keep being loud in the dugout. I think that was the big message that we wanted to take with us throughout spring break. And we had our moments here and there, but I think for the most part, we really stuck to it and we're a lot better than we were before spring break.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's also just nice just to look, get the monkey off your back a little bit, right? It's like, right, you got the loss out of the way. Fine. Take it. You know, now you don't have to think about it. Right. So, it's the other side of the coin around, like, you know, you're thinking so much about, I was actually just watching a clip on X and it was talking about, you know, like, it's like mental preparation. And it's like, you know, if you continue to think about being mentally prepared to like not lose, you know, then your body's going to react around like losing, like it's going to prepare itself to lose as opposed to, you know, mentally preparing yourself to constantly think about winning, because then your body's going to follow what, you know, obviously what your mindset is. So, you know, it's like those little kind of small things around, you know, that it, you know, inadvertently, you know, can kind of, you know, steer things, you know, right, wrong, or indifferent. But you know, it's past it. So that's great. I mean, you guys are 9-1, kicking butt, at the end of the day. So, but let's talk about the Florida trip. Cause I mean, you know, it was nice to see there's a heavy dose of JV games. You know, I was just looking at the schedule and some of the teams. It's like Monday was a doubleheader versus the New College of Florida. They were in NAIA school. JV teams, you know, split that. On Tuesday was Pasco Hernando, D2 JUCO, split those. I mean, how beneficial was it just for the team to get in a bunch of JV games, you know, during that week, you know, in between, you know, obviously Cumberland and you know, heading down to Warner?
I think it was like incredibly beneficial for us because it allowed us to see some of the areas that we needed to work on, whether it be hitting or fielding or getting a bunt down or seeing signs, all these things. We were able to see the areas that we needed to improve on in a situation that was a lot more low stress than, say, you know, a CCIW conference game. And they were a lot less stressful too, just because we all knew that these are just JV games. They're not going to go on our record. It's not going to affect our ranking. You know, Milliken isn't going to see that we split with the New College of Florida and use that against us. It was really an opportunity for us to see what we need to work on, but also still, you know, allow us to have fun and team bond and, you know, bond together as a team. Some of the loudest games that I've ever played in my like 20 years of playing softball, the loudest dugout I've ever been in was at some of these games that we just played this past weekend. And the dugout was rocking. The teams, we were doing great, hitting like crazy, fielding like crazy, making crazy plays. It was just, it was a lot of fun too.
Now, you know, how did the rotations work for those JV games? Yeah, I mean, there was a total of 4 games and it's like, were a lot of the starters playing like a couple of innings and then, you know, playing a lot of, you know, like, you know, freshman, sophomore, folks that don't play as much. Like how did that typically, how'd that rotation kind of work?
I think it was mostly the people who don't see a lot of varsity time, it's like from the past year with John and then from the few games that we have had, it's more consistently the people who haven't seen a lot of varsity time and then a few of the varsity starters getting a few like games or innings sprinkled in there. I know John is trying to be really cognizant of how many games varsity players have been in because we're only allowed to be in a certain amount of games. So he was trying to be aware of that while also still letting some of the varsity players, you know, see different pitchers and get more innings in and balancing that with the girls who haven't seen that many varsity games yet. So it was kind of, it was a little bit all over the place, but it was definitely strategic.
Now, you know, when you look at New College of Florida, Pasco Hernando, I mean, how did that level of talent compare to, you know, the, you know, Division III and the CCIW and the teams you've, you know, played, you know, cause you know, you think about NAIA, sometimes that's so hard. It's like, how do they compare? You know, but then you look at like a, you know, a D1, D2 JUCO, depending on, you know, kind of where they're at. How did the level of like competition and skill kind of compare?
It kind of depended on, honestly, sometimes even inning to inning, but mostly game to game.
Weight loss solutions are not one size fits all. Hers makes it simpler to get started and stick with a weight loss plan backed by expert guided online care that puts your weight loss goals first. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com apply.
The biggest difference I noticed was the pitching. CCIW, we have some great pitchers with some like crazy movement, crazy speed. But some of these schools that we played, it was just slower, not as much movement, pretty flat. So that was an adjustment that we had to make, and it was something different. And then there were a few where, like, some girls just, like, you know, would run in on a fly ball instead of first step back. So I wouldn't say the competition was CCIW, like, our standard of playing. But there was some definite talent out there. Like, we played some pitchers. Some of those changeups, man, I was whiffing like crazy. So it just kind of depended game to game, I would say.
Do you find like, you brought up a point, you're talking about like some slower pitching and, you know, what I had known as just calling the baseball games for the last 4 or 5 years is, you know, I always noticed that the baseball team always seems to do better against the aces of the other teams because they're throwing harder. And you know, when they get, you know, further down in that rotation, you know, 70s, low 80s, you know, maybe not as hard of throwers. They seem like it changes their rhythm a little bit. Do you notice that, you know, from your end as well?
100%. Yes. I think in practice and in games, we're so focused on hitting these girls who are pitching in like, you know, the mid 60s and they're like, they got a killer rise ball and they're just pitching it right down the middle and it's so fast you can't even touch it. So we focus so much on hitting that fast pitching that when it comes time to, you see a girl who's pitching low 50s or something super slow, it just completely throws you for a loop and you have to rethink everything. Personally, when I, like, that throws me off really bad. So when I see a slower pitcher, it's like you're so used to being go, 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 that when you see something so slow, you have to take a step back, and it takes some time to adjust for sure, but it throws off that rhythm fully.
So where, I mean, speed wise, what do you typically say is the average, average speed pitch, you know, in CCIW, maybe from like the Aces? Low mid 60s?
Not 100% sure. I think low to mid 60s is pretty, like, if you're pitching low to mid 60s CCIW, that's pretty tough to compete with.
That's what Mike Aragon texted me, because we were, I was talking to this with Cam Miller the other night, and, mm-hmm. you know, he's like, oh, elite five, you know, power, you know, or elite power five, you know, maybe in the upper 60s. You know, cause I asked Cam, I said, well, you know, did you see, obviously the Tennessee softball pitcher, I mean, you guys were in Tennessee when this, or coming, leaving from Tennessee when it happened, but it's like Carlin Pickens, you know, threw that 78 mile an hour. And I'm like, that's like, they say it was equivalent of 110, fastball, you know, 78 miles an hour from a 43 foot mound, like with rise, that's stupid. Like, that's just ridiculous.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
And it just looked absolutely effortless. And that's the thing. That's the other part.
Yeah.
Like, so I don't know. I mean, trying to hit something like that. Yeah. Good luck.
It's honestly, you just have to stick your bat on hope at that point.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what I would
kind of grip it and rip it. And, you know,
exactly.
So, see what you need. You need to go to those new Yankee, you know, like bats that they've formed.
Yes.
God, those are odd looking, but I don't know. I'll be curious to see what happens with the MLB, and I keep seeing whether or not those are actually legal or not because of the taper, the bat. And so anyway, mm-hmm. So, you know, you guys traveled down to Lake Wales after that, down near Tampa, you took on Warner, now, you know, I was looking at some of the past schedules, and it looks like it was the first Florida trip for quite a few of the players. There's maybe only four or five that were probably freshmen, like Megan, Anna, Alyssa, I think Hannah and Rosalind. Mm-hmm. I think were freshmen last time, you know, the softball team went down to Florida. Took both games, you know, pretty commandedly. You left with a couple hits. Got your first stolen bag of the year, an RBI, a run. you know, talk a little bit about just those games with Warner.
Going into the Warner games, I knew I had something to prove to myself and to the team, because we haven't played as many games as a lot of the teams in the CCIW, and I've been kind of splitting time in left field. So I really wanted to go out there for these Warner games and really prove to everyone that, you know, I got what it takes to be out there. So I went in there with that mentality of just kind of be an animal in the box. When I play left field, just do whatever it takes. And I think that really helped my confidence, and it really helped me perform, because I wasn't as stressed as I think I would have been in the past. I just kind of wanted to go out there and have fun and just show everybody I know what I'm doing. I go to practice every day of the week, and I field ground balls, and, you know, I can hit pitching, and I can hit, you know, I can hit the line drives that I've been telling you I've been able to hit for the whole season. So it was a really great opportunity to go out there and show everybody that I can do what I say I can do. And it was really fun. The dugout was rocking. Lauren pitched great. McCallum pitched great in the second game. We had people hit home runs. Like, that energy and that confidence was just super contagious, I think. And it was like a great game for everybody out there. And it was some of the most fun I've ever had playing softball in my life.
You know, and it was so tough to watch that game, because I don't know if you had, you know, any family, but like, that were watching it, but it was like, we had issues with it going in and out, it seemed like, unless it was just me, but like I couldn't hear the announcer. It was like super low, and like my feed kept going in and out constantly, and it would like go dark, go black, and then would like freeze. And the next thing you know, it would show like, you know, a bunch of girls were, you know, running around, you know, and I was like, what is going on? So it sucks. I didn't get a chance to really watch much of it because, you know, the feed was so bad. And I was like, so I just ended up watching the stats a little bit, but they seem to be delayed as well. So I don't know, must have had an internet issue or something, but it sucks. I was like, oh man, 8-1, 16-4. Like I would have loved to have seen that. That'd been awesome. Now, do you by chance have your glove with you?
I do. I actually have both of them from, my sophomore year. I don't know why it took me that long. I have my sophomore year one. This is the one I've been using, like, the most often. Because it's pretty broken in already. But it has my last name and then my number right there. Then I actually didn't put anything on the inside that year, kind of boring. Then it might be hard to see, but on the inside, it says Skull Vikes, even though okay. I'm pretty sure Skull what Vikes. The actual saying is Skull.
Skull
but
Vikes,
it's,
yeah.
We always, on the team, we always say, like, just SKO, so I put that in there. and then my one from this year, I did the lighter color. Because
I like
Marley
that.
Did hers a later color, and I was like, it looks so good. I was like, I gotta get one. So my teammates call me Gaddy because my last name is Gad. So I put that on the outside this time. Then on the inside, it's a little horseshoe, and it says "Rub here for good luck" because I'm a little superstitious, and I thought I would like having something in there like that.
Now, what do you have on the? Do you have something on the inside of the glove where your hand goes in? Did you have anything in there?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yeah, I do. It says have fun.
Okay.
Sometimes I think I get a little too stressed out. So just looking in there, just remembering, just have fun. You know, you're out here with your friends. You're playing the sport that you love. Just relax and have fun with it. It just always reminds me to take a deep breath and calm down.
So superstitious. Like what are some of the superstitions that, you know, that maybe you have or you think about all the time?
Well, I have, if my hair is in a ponytail and I'm like on it or the team is winning, even if like my hair is completely falling in front of my face, I don't redo it. That's the good luck ponytail. when I get into the box, I guess that this one isn't as much of a superstition as it is a routine, but I tap my back foot 3 times on the ground, and then I tap the corner of each corner of the plate, and then I look at my bat, and then I get ready to go. That's another one of my weird little ones. I don't like to tie my shoes sometimes. I don't know. I don't like to mess with anything that I have, like, that I have on, or like who I'm standing next to in the dugout. I try not to change that if we're on a roll.
Yeah.
Just weird little things like that.
Oh God. There are times where like, especially if I'm doing something, I'll be watching, you know, an away game at work or, you know, and like something's happening. Like I just won't like leave my seat. I'm like, well, I need to go use the restroom or something, but I can't. So as I'm, you know, I don't want to screw this up and it's going to be on me. You know, do you have like any like pregame like rituals that you do when you get ready?
Honestly, not really. A lot of the times I'm pretty slow getting off the bus. I don't really know why. I'm usually the last one off, so I'm always in a rush. So even if I did have time to like, even if I did have a pregame ritual, I don't even think I would have time to do it.
I like it. So tap 3 times. Back foot, touch the front left, mm-hmm. Get your bat ready to rock and roll. I like it.
Yeah.
So you play left field and the DP role. Now, you know, when you're in that DP role, you know, are you mostly batting for the pitcher? Or are you kind of flexing like into other, you know, positions kind of around the field? Like, how are you kind of working into that role?
Let me think. When I'm the DP, it's a little stressful, honestly, just because it's like, this is really like, you know, let's say I have a bad at bat. Usually I'll think to myself, oh, I can just go out into the field and, you know, make a good catch or make the routine plays and it'll kind of balance it out. But with the, in the DP role, you don't have that. So I think it's a little bit more stressful, but I just go in there when I'm, you know, only hitting. And I think to myself, like, you know, you really got to focus in and do what you need to do in this role and at this time. And that kind of like alleviates a little bit of that stress. But usually I'm just thinking like, if there's a runner on third, you're hitting behind that runner. You're hitting everything to the right side. So I usually just try to hit everything to the right side and do that.
Now, because the DP role is a little bit different, right, than like the designated hitter in baseball, right? Because they can also play field position, I think. I think there's
all that kind of gets a little confusing.
Yeah. I was trying to, because I saw it and I was like, so I, you know, just did a quick Google search because I haven't, you know, really been exposed to a ton of softball. So I was trying to learn a little bit about it. And yeah, I know there's a little bit of difference within the DH spot, but as I was like doing some of that research, I found an old recruiting profile of yours. I found a few like, you know, videos, you and, you know, some, you know, indoor complex hitting, you know, taking a bunch of balls and, you know, doing a bunch of BP work. And, you know, your personal statement said, you know, you were a utility player, but your focus is on shortstop and third base. So, you know, now you're more, you know, probably left field, you know, with that DP role. You know, how did the change, you know, in the position, you know, to outfield kind of come about?
It really started in high school. I went to Lockport, and Lockport is a very competitive school. And there's a ton of girls that go to Lockport and make the team. And we
all know that owning a small business means you wear many hats, but sometimes you really need an extra pair of hands. Upwork is how good companies find great and trusted freelance talent. With more than two decades of experience with the simple and ambitious goal of pioneering a better way of working, companies at every stage turn to Upwork to get things done and find more flexibility in staffing key projects and initiatives. They access a global marketplace filled with top talent in IT, web dev, marketing, and more. Posting a job on Upwork is easy. With no cost to join, you can register, browse freelancer profiles, and get help drafting a job post or even book a consultation. From there, you connect with freelancers that get you and can easily hire them and take your business to the next level. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to post your job for free and connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's UPWORK.com, Upwork.com.
We had a lot of shortstop, second baseman, and third baseman who I really wasn't going to play over. But my coach wanted to keep me on the team, and she knew that, you know, I had value. It just might not have been a shortstop or second base. So she moved me to the outfield. And in high school, I really only played the outfield. And in travel, I kind of mixed between playing infield and outfield. And then eventually one day I was just like, just put me only in the outfield. I really like it out there. I feel comfortable. I feel like I'm really using all my skills to the best of my ability. And I think that started like junior year of high school is when I transitioned to only being an outfielder. And somehow I still got recruited to Augie, even though all my videos were as a middle infielder, but I never played infield for Augie once. I don't think I fielded a ground ball in like 4 years in the infield. And honestly, I don't really want to. So I'm really glad John didn't look at those skill videos and put me in the infield, because it would have been rough for me.
Now, did you start when you came to Augie? Were you center field first and then you moved to left?
It was a mix of both. Nice. I played center and left depending on the day.
Okay. I was trying to dig through some old, like, you know, box scores. And, well, you know, speaking of social media though, as I was doing my digging, you know, the Viking Softball X account, you know, they have those softball player cards. You know, so I want to walk through yours a bit, and maybe have you expand on, you know, some of the individual answers maybe you've given a little bit, and then we'll have a little fun here towards the end. So your hometown was it Orland Park? Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then you went to Lockport. So, like, what was your path? You know, tell me a little bit about Orland Park, and then how did your path get to Augie? Because, you know, he didn't look at any of your infield stuff, so apparently, so.
Yeah. Orland Park is, I would say it's like 30 minutes to an hour, depending on the traffic, away from Chicago. So I'm pretty close to the city. Orland is, it's like really close to a bunch of other small towns. Orland has like a really big mall and stuff too, so I like going there a lot. But there's a bunch of super competitive softball high schools in the area, and my house is on the border of like two towns basically. So luckily I went to Lockport because Lockport has a really good softball program, but I'm really close to Sandberg High School, who has a pretty good softball program too. But Lockport was a huge high school. I think my graduating class had like 900 kids in it.
Wow.
So I think when I was looking for colleges in my head, I was like, man, I want to go to a big school. I don't even know if I want to play softball anymore. But then COVID happened, and then we didn't get to play softball anymore. And that really shifted my mentality going into the junior and senior year of recruiting, where I was like, I need to go to a school where I play softball because I love playing softball. And if I didn't do it those last 4 years, I know I would regret it and I know I would miss it. So I started to look at smaller D3 schools where I knew I'd be getting a really good education and also be able to play softball and still have a social life. So D3 was definitely the route that I wanted to go to at that point. And one of my dad's really good friends, his son came to Augustana and played on the lacrosse team. And my dad was like, you got to go on a visit to Augie. You got to go on a visit. And I kept telling him, well, it's only 2 hours away from home. I don't want to be so close. I want to go somewhere super far away. But one day I was like, you know what? Let's just do it. Let's just go. So I went to the school and I visited it, and it was like gorgeous. And I really liked the size of the classes and how close everything was on campus, and not having to, you know, take a bus to my class is super nice. And then I did an overnight with some of the girls here, and I got to know the team and what like the school was actually like without my dad there. Like, we went to a basketball game. I got to meet some of the other girls' friends. I met all the girls on the team, and that moment I was like, yeah, this is the spot that I want to go. This is the place that I'm really going to thrive academically, socially, and in softball. And even though we've had crazy like coaching changes and just super hectic time, like I wouldn't trade my time at Augie for the world. Like, if I could go back 3 years in the past, knowing everything that I knew was going to happen, I would still stay here.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, I couldn't be, you know, more happy with, you know, what they've done with the coaching staff. And you know, I see Coach Nelson coming over from Rockford and, you know, everybody he's added to his staff and, you know, kind of the great success, you know, you ladies are having is awesome. And, you know, so, yeah, I mean, y'all are making it happen. So that's awesome. That's great to hear. And, you know, you also chose like English education. Did you know coming into Augie, like you wanted to go down that career path, or how did you come to English education?
I knew going into Augie that I wanted to do something with English because I've always just been really good at it. And I love to read and to talk about what I read. And I like to write papers, which makes me sound kind of crazy because no one likes to write a paper, but I like them. They're fun. So I knew I wanted to do something with English, but the more I thought about it, I was like, I just don't know what I would do with just an English degree. So I started to think about teaching more and more. And I'm a huge talker. I cannot shut my mouth. So, and then I started to do more thinking. I was like, man, like, I like to talk. I like to read. I like to talk about what I read. I love to be around other people and do things that like aren't super predictable. And teaching really started to come to my mind because I would get to do all the things that I love with English and try to like spread that to other people and help other people and be in a career that really makes an impact on other people's lives. And I would get summers off, which is really nice too.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, what's like your favorite thing to read?
Honestly, anything you put in front of me. People ask me all the time, especially being in English classes, what's your favorite book? What do you like to read? Anything you put in front of me, I'll read it.
I like it. See, you know what? That was probably the hardest transition for me. Like I would read and I'd fall asleep like that. I would struggle. So I was nowhere near going to be ever in English education. So, now when you want to go the teaching route, are you wanting to stay like high school type level or?
Yeah. I think I would do high school just because I would also like to coach softball, and being in high school and teaching older kids would give me the opportunity to kind of dig into books the way I like to discuss them. And, you know, the kids are a little bit more mature. So as much as people don't think high schoolers are easy to work with, like they are, they're really not that bad as they're not as bad as everyone says they are. And I would get the chance to still be around softball, even though I'm not playing it anymore. And that would be really nice.
One of the other things you'd put on there is your favorite artist still, Lana Del Rey.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, what's your favorite song from Lana Del Rey? And like, what is it about her that you like?
Oh my gosh. I just really like the way her voice sounds. It like she has such a mix of songs. A lot of it is kind of sad, but you'll hear some like hype songs, so I can listen to it when I'm trying to focus on my homework or when I'm trying to go to bed, but I can also listen to it like before a game and get hyped up. I would say my favorite song right now is Get Free. I honestly don't remember the name of the album, but that's probably my favorite. But I just love listening to her like all the time.
Now, have you seen her in concert before?
No, I wanted to so bad. All my friends went to Lollapalooza and it was kind of crazy, but they waited at the stage that she was going to perform on because she was the last person all day. It was like hours and hours. Like they didn't go to the bathroom. They didn't get food. They just slowly shoved their way closer and closer to the front so they could see her super up close and like personal. I couldn't go because I had work, but I really, really wanted to.
Well, you did the right thing. You know, you went to work. Now the other thing, you put on there was, your role model. You said we're your parents. So tell me a little bit about, why they've been maybe so influential.
My parents have always been with me every single step of the way, no matter what I've been doing. I can mess up countless times. I can lose something. I could get a failing grade. I could call them in the middle of the night crying because I forgot to do an assignment, or I am stressed out about softball, and no matter what, they'll tell me it's going to be okay. They'll help me in any way they can. They just know how to support me, and they tell me what I need to hear every single time and never fail to make me feel better about whatever's going on in my life. I've had some essays that I've been writing recently, and I just can't look at it anymore, and I'll ask my mom or my dad to read it for me, and they'll do it no matter what time of the day it is, no matter what they're doing. I know that they're going to find the time to sit down and read it with me and tell me what I need to fix and what sounds good. Or sometimes they'll send me money for groceries when I call and complain that I'm starving and there's nothing to eat and I don't want to cook dinner because I just got back from practice. And they'll send me money, and they'll just really be there for me no matter what I need. And it's just, they're my biggest support system. I definitely couldn't have done anything that I've done without them.
That's awesome. You did say a failing grade. I mean, come on, you're 4-time dean list. I mean, failing grade, that might be a little stretch. I don't know.
Okay, maybe like a C or something.
Yeah. I don't know. I would have been happy. My first year, I'd have been happy with C's. So let's put it that way. So now, your favorite emojis, salute, the fish, and then like smiley face, rosy cheeks. Why did you pick those? Because I asked Marley and she's like, I don't know, I just picked fire, and then I did three of them. So so what's the salute fish smiley face with the rosy cheeks all about?
Well, the salute, I send that, like, I almost use it as kind of a period sometimes when I'm sending out my texts. And recently, I don't know when this started, but whenever I'm in the outfield and somebody will give me a direction, or they're like, hey, she hit to the left side last time, or hey, be ready out there, I'll go, aye, aye, captain, and I'll give them a salute. So that one's been big in the recently used emoji section. My favorite animal is a fish. So I just put the fish in there because I couldn't think of another emoji, and I was like, well, I love fish so much that I'll put them in there. People should know that about me. And then the rosy cheek one, I just put in there. I don't know. Maybe I smile a lot or something.
I know on last year's card, you described yourself as energetic, and, you know, I think that's to a T. I don't think we need to probably talk about that one, but what's maybe one thing, though, that people may not know about you or maybe wouldn't expect?
I used to be really, really shy. Before COVID, I was really, like, terribly introverted. I did not like to go, I wouldn't order my own food at, like, a restaurant, or if they messed up my Starbucks order, I wouldn't go up there and tell them it was wrong. I didn't like to talk in class. But then after COVID, I think something switched where I was like, just interact with as many people as possible. So now I try to be pretty bubbly. I try to talk as much as I can. Honestly, you can't get me to shut up now. So, but I think people wouldn't really expect that.
I like it. Now, is your favorite show still Friends?
It's one of them. I also really like New Girl.
Okay.
And I just started watching Game of Thrones, and that's definitely made it up in the ranks of my favorite shows.
All right. Well, I was banking that maybe your favorite show was still potentially Friends is up there. So, I have some questions. We're going to play a little game.
Okay.
So let's start off with, that was on your card, I think, last year. So I'm like, you know what? It's a year reserved. It's got to still be up there. So
it is.
Which character do you relate to the most on Friends, and why?
I I want to say Joey, just because I think he's just a pretty funny guy. Sometimes he doesn't always have his life together, but which I definitely don't have my life together all the time. And he just kind of is, you know, always there, always laughing, always funny, always having a good time. So I would say I try to be like Joey most of the time, and that's who I would hope I would be the closest to.
And you're not supposed to have your life together. You're a junior in college. Like, it took me a couple years after college to be like, all right, I've got to get this life thing, you know, situated here. And so plenty of time to be an adult. Don't worry about that.
That makes me feel better.
And I mean, gosh, I'll be 43 this year. And it's like, sometimes I still feel I'm like, we'll see. Now, is there a quote from Friends that, you know, maybe you find yourself, you know, saying the most often?
This one's kind of a weird one, but we put on Friends for my dog when we leave him home alone, so he's not just like sitting in the house alone. And for whatever reason, the episode where they play like the cups game is always on in my house. So my family, one of our like biggest lines that we say to each other all the time, we'll just randomly say to each other, "That's a full cup." All the time. So it's like completely random and it has no meaning, but that's a big one for us for some reason.
I love it. You know, that's funny, like, because The Office is one of my favorite shows, and actually it became one of my favorite shows while I was at Augie. You know, so when you're like, "Oh, I'm superstitious," I just want to be like, "You know, I'm a little stitious," you know, like Michael Scott would always say. Now on the field, would you say you are more of like a Monica, more like super competitive, or more like Phoebe, kind of enjoying the vibe, you know, kind of, you know, in the game, just, you know, being.
Ideally, I would be Phoebe. However, I am 100% Monica. I do not like to lose. And sometimes, like, even at practice, we'll just be scrimmaging. And someone will make they'll call a strike when it was clearly a ball. And I'll just get so mad and I'll catch myself and I'll be like, "Emily, you need to calm down. Like, it's not that big of a deal." So I'm definitely a Monica, super competitive.
So now I'm going to ask you to pinpoint some of the girls from the softball team. So let's have some fun with this one. So if the softball team were the Friends crew, let's start off with who would be Ross. Kind of brainy, like detail-oriented, sometimes Maya slightly Veal. Awkward. Maya Veal?
Maya Veal.
Now, you said yourself was Joey, but we got to pick someone else. So who else would be maybe Joey? Like, charming, kind of laid back, maybe, you know, I know, like, he loved food. Who would be the other Joey, maybe?
I would say Lily Burton.
Lily Burton? Now, Rachel, stylish, kind of independent, determined, kind of that, like, natural leader.
I feel like Jordan Faust kind of gives me that vibe.
Jordan Faust? Now, lastly, Chandler. Sarcastic, quick wit. Dry humor.
Oh, that's a hard one. I kind of see a little bit of Marley Beam, but also sometimes Emma Evans.
Okay.
A little bit of Tegan Nies sometimes too. There's a few Chandlers on the team, I would say.
A few Chandlers. I like it. Well, well, that's a good spot to wrap up. And yeah, I mean, I was hoping you still liked Friends, because as soon as I read that, I was like, gosh, I would love to see how you would pinpoint the other girls on the team and who you think would kind of start to line that up. So, tough week ahead of you, heading up to Storm Lake for a doubleheader against, Buena Vista, and then hosting, you know, we talked about Whitewater at home on Friday. So I just hope the weather can warm up a little bit, because
I hope so too.
you know, it's like summer wants to be here. Certainly it doesn't. And it's like, well, you get some flurries and some rain, and it doesn't quite know what it wants to do yet. So, but no, so certainly good luck, you know, this week. You know, and I appreciate, you know, you joining me here tonight in 51 minutes. That's rivaling the longest. That's rivaling the longest, I think.
So. I told you I'm a talker.
Absolutely. Well, it's been a ton of fun. Been a pleasure having you on. So again, thanks for joining me tonight.
Thank you for having me.
Trying to lose weight? It's time to try Hers. At forhers.com/foryou, you can access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss treatments tailored just for you. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
Support American-made, tariff-free clothing with American Giant with American Giant. They aren't affected by tariffs because their clothing products never left the U.S. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.